Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. Where's the da-dun?
Oh. Well, I've got expectations now.
Yeah. You know, I'll be waiting for that. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I'm joined by my sound man to my technical left on the screen, Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's going on, everybody?
And usually we have PC and Dirt on Twitter and Classic Materia on Twitter with us. But number one, Classic's computer is out of order. And Dirt is at a meeting right now, but hopefully he'll be joining us a little later on. And, of course, every now and then we have my brother, the Adam Black, who joins us after he gets off work. So we'll see if he tunes in as well. But for those at home watching live, I want to say thank you for tuning in. We took last Thursday off for the 4th of July holiday. Hope you all enjoyed your grilling and your meats.
Hell yeah.
How was your 4th?
It was calm. Very calm. Very calm. Lots of barbecue. How about you?
It was very rainy, just like been every day for the past 3 weeks, it seems. Dang. Now. It's rain every day.
Yeah, we get that. You know, up here in the NYC, we have that threat of everyday thunderstorms. But lately, knock on wood, it hasn't been happening. You know, the threat hasn't been coming, you know, hasn't been actually occurring, you know, gone beyond a threat. So,
right. But we still were able to cook out and had some nice food and watched Monsters, Inc. in the late morning, early afternoon.
Oh, how was that?
Well, this is Monsters, Inc., the original.
Oh, the original. I'm sorry.
We watched that in the early part of the day. And then after dinner, we went and saw Monsters University.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I had never seen Monsters, Inc., so I was forced by the girlfriend to watch Inc. first to prepare me. So I got my animation domination in for the afternoon, or the entire day, actually. And then we saw fireworks on the way home. So they were ending. So there's nothing better than wet environment and fireworks. Those tend to go hand in hand. Because we thought they were going to be canceled, but I guess it was dry enough where they were able to
let them loose. Yeah. Sounds good.
So that's how that went. So now the part of the program where I start plugging some social media accounts and websites where you can reach us at. First off, go to theclicknation.com where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, previous episodes of the Click Nation podcast, which there hasn't been any in a long time, but hopefully we'll change that once everyone's...
Summer hiatus.
Yeah, summer hiatus. There you go. Once everyone's work schedule start vibing better. Follow the Twitter account at the Click Nation. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Find us on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation to find the page, and also find The Click Nation community to join the community and join in on the discussion. On iTunes and Stitcher Radio, just search for The Click Nation. And if you ever have any email, or you want to send email for any comments you want to have read on future shows, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And shout outs to comicrelated.com for also hosting our various comic book related podcasts. Just go to comicrelated.com. They have a whole slew of podcasts on their podcasting network, they call it. And check out Dirt's website, popculturenetwork.com. And of course, follow at @agent_70 on Twitter. And you see my Twitter up on the screen, so I don't need to call it out to you unless you're listening to the audio version at home, which will be uploaded later on. So in that case, I'm at TimDogg98.
Come on, Google Plus, fix that toolbox so we can put sounds back into the toolbox.
Sound and pictures up at the same time.
That's right.
Trying to bring some multitasking to the podcasting world here. Google doesn't want to cooperate. But in any event, let's get to talking about some of the news from, it's 2 weeks now since we missed last week. We'll try to hopefully not miss anything. First up, Image, last week while we were away, Image had their Image Expo, where they announced a slew of books that would be coming in the following months and into the new year. I don't have a link open right now, but I know they had Rick Remender has two new comics coming out for Image. I think Matt Fraction announced some stuff. Let's see what we can find online while we're got the show going here.
Yeah, you got me. I was trying to cover my typing tracks by killing the mic for a second, but I read a couple of news stories, and there's some exciting things going on with Image and some creator-owned stuff. It looks like I believe Steve Epting is following Ed Brubaker to a creator-owned title at Image, if I'm not mistaken. Kirkman did, I think, made an announcement that there's a big story arc in The Walking Dead coming up. I guess an all-out war. I guess the latest all-out war in the Walking Dead universe. JMS, J. Michael Straczynski's got his continuing line of books that he's promoting. And there's a whole lot of stuff going on here. Let's look at the rest of this news recap.
Okay, I'm trying to see what we got here. So yeah, not finding. Everyone has like little links talking about individual books and nothing sort of summarizing the whole thing. But we can tell you some people that were there, because Image actually has that link up on their website, but they don't tell you what they released. Let's see, Robert Kirkman, of course. Ed Brubaker was there. J. Michael Straczynski, Nick Dragota, Mark Millar. But yeah, a lot of new books for Image, who has been sort of killing it in the independent scene lately.
Yeah, the creator-owned scene. That's where they go to kind of let their own creativity shine. They almost, you know, what I seem to see is these creators are going to do the licensed work, the Marvel and DC work, to pay the bills. And give them the leeway and the space to create at Image. And right now, that seems to be the business plan for a lot of these creators.
Got to be versatile.
You got to pay those bills too.
Yeah. Your baby needs beer money.
That's right. That's right. That's
maybe
right.
Not beer money.
That's right.
Let's see, George Perez is exclusive to Boom Studios. That was announced.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a big announcement. That's he just came off of an exclusive DC contract.
Yeah. With a lot of these guys, they've mentioned how, you know, working on their own creator owned stuff gives them the freedom that working in the big two IPOs doesn't allow, because you're working with these, you know, franchise characters where everything's so rigid, especially with movie studios getting involved.
Right, so, and editorial even, you know, or even decisions being made above the editorial level, in the corporate level. I think that's what George Perez was complaining about when he was when he first relaunched the New 52 Superman. Mm-hmm. And he was supposed to be writing that book, and he ended up withdrawing or being taken off because he, you know, because of creative differences with, you know, not just editorial, but with the people, you know, above.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that, but since it involved Superman, I wasn't interested in them back then.
I gotcha. So, but no, this is big. I'm happy to see George Perez. You know, hopefully he's going to be creating new stuff and working on new stuff. He hasn't had much success with his own creator-owned books, but he himself has said that that has been due to some financial missteps that he may have made, or some business mistakes that he may have made. So hopefully now that he's kind of within a structure of a smaller publishing house, he can hopefully create something new and cool. I miss his Avengers stuff and going way back even before that to New Teen Titans. But I'm definitely happy that he's got a new home with a new exclusive contract.
Yeah, and we've got William B. West on Twitter asking, "Is Curious Millar is doing creator owned at Image instead of Icon like he's been doing?"
It's a good point.
Yeah, because he took his, you know, the much hyped Jupiter's Legacy to Image. Maybe they gave him some nice deal an offer that he couldn't say no to.
It's probably just a bigger cut of the pie, maybe with the licensing. You know, there has to be some sort of difference between the Icon licensing deal to do your creator-owned publishing and the Image licensing deal. So, you know, there has to be some sort of difference, you know, for Millar to choose basically one over the other.
Right. Let's see what else we got news. You were mentioning before the show started about some digital first announcements.
Yes. Marvel's announced this past week a program called Share Your Universe. And my understanding is that, and I believe that this Wednesday, no surprise here. I haven't been to the comic book store yet, but this Wednesday they put out a Share Your Universe freebie, a giveaway to kind of detail the program. It's designed to link the Disney XD cartoons and the movies that have come out to the publishing side, and also it's my understanding that you're supposed to be able to help share your books using this.
That whole announcement
from one user to another. Yeah.
I didn't understand. It sounded more like I'm reading this comic book. Let me share it, as in let people know what I'm reading by sharing it through a social networking platform, which you can sort of already do with GitGlue, which lets you, you know, announce you're reading this book or playing this video game or watching this TV show or movie.
Right, but they're doing it through the official Marvel app or whatever, so...
So I guess if you're reading something in the app, you can then share it, and it'll send it to the different platforms, I'm assuming.
I was hoping that this would be a means to actually share the file.
I don't see them actually letting you share...
But I didn't see that language, and I'm kind of glad that this conversation got started, because that was my understanding. And then, like you said, upon closer reading, upon further review, it's not exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah. It sounds like I was like, hey, people, I'm reading this. And that's it.
Right.
It's more for kids, too, which, you know, for...
Well, I mean, listen, we're the choir that doesn't need to be preached to, right? The proverbial choir, you know.
Yeah. So,
and most of our listeners and viewers are members of the choir as well. So you know, we have to step away from that and take a step back. One of the better lines in the article I read that was posted on Comic Book Resources was that this isn't about being in 7-Eleven, the traditional spinner rack of comic books. It's about getting it into the hands of where the kids are nowadays. Which, and unfortunately, you've seen it with kids dragging, you know, like kicking and screaming until they get their mom's iPhone or iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this seems like the best way to, you know, this seems like the best way to get their content into those kids' hands, assuming because they're all, you know, they're almost coming out of the womb holding an iPad or an iPhone.
Yeah, they know how to use some technology.
Yeah, at this point. So it seems like a good idea. I want to see what the execution is going to be like. I'm glad that you pointed that out to the audience, that it does sound like it's a evidence of sharing as opposed to actual sharing. It's like, hey, I'm reading this, come and take a look at it, as opposed to being able to say, I have this file copy, you want to read it, you can read it on your device if you follow this link. We may, you know, with any luck, hopefully that's where it goes.
And also in news, of course, San Diego Comic-Con begins next week, right?
Yep. Yep.
Next Thursday through Sunday. And
I think there's a preview night on Wednesday now, too. I think it's just getting longer and longer.
They've released the schedule for each day of the con. So you can go to, what is their website?
As we both go looking.
Comic-con.org. Is that what that is? That website can't be right.
Yeah, it is. You got it.
Okay.
Comic-con.org.
Okay.
It's Comic-Con International, San Diego.
So go there, and they somewhere on here they have this whole schedule for you to look at. I need to actually put it probably on my website too. I just don't feel like it.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a preview night, which I believe is Wednesday, and then it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. My goodness. My goodness.
Okay. Yeah, I found it. Complete. CCI 2013 complete program schedule. So it's a lot to go through. It would be too much try to pinpoint some key ones to look at, because everyone's list, they're going to see something that stands out to them more than other people. So give it a read over, see which panels look the most intriguing to you. I know Marvel, they already have it on their website. Whenever they do their panels, they have a live blog that's updated, so you can get real-time updates during the panel. And they've already got them all lined up with schedule and time, so whenever they start, you can just go there, keep up with them, which I probably will plan on trying to do.
If you can, if you can get away from the boss's prying eyes on Thursday and Friday.
Oh, that won't be a problem. I just gotta let the missus know that this weekend don't bother me too much, because I'm gonna be trying to read news and updates.
There's usually I'm gonna be the slacker, and I'll wait until Monday or Tuesday and wait for the summaries of most of the stuff. We're definitely gonna have a lot of stuff to talk about the Thursday after Comic Con, so San Diego Comic Con.
News, definitely.
Definitely.
So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Sure, sure. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff. There's going to be more talk about Infinity. There's going to be more talk about another, I can't believe I'm going to say this, another event in the Marvel Universe this year.
And what's funny is, like, you think with only like a couple days away from the event that they'd save news for it, but these companies are still like announcing stuff pre-the convention.
Well, they're priming the pump, you know, they're getting people jacked, you know, like kind of excited to attend and hoping for, you know, a morsel that's going to be more interesting than just the regular announcement. So, you know, they've introduced the next, you know, we're not even talking about Battle of the Atom anymore. We're talking about Inhumanity, which is the next event crossover in the Marvel Universe post Infinity.
Yes, I've got that. That was a good transition because that was the next thing I was going to bring up. So today, Marvel announced to Entertainment Weekly a new event and comic book series that's going to spin out of the Infinity once it ends. And Blee & Cool had rumored this series for a couple of months now, so they considered they were correct about Matt Fraction writing a book starring the Inhumans, except that it deals even more, not just Inhumans, but the whole Marvel Universe. And the event is called Inhumanity. So when Infinity ends, the Terrigen Mist, which created the Inhumans, is going to be spread across the globe, and it's going to create, or it's going to activate dormant Inhuman abilities and powers in their late ancestors. So basically, it's like the equivalent of mutants popping up all across the Marvel Universe. Instead of being mutant genes, it's Inhuman genes.
And it'll be funny if there are mutants that turn out to be Inhumans.
Well, that's something I was curious about. Like, what, you know, of course, there's going to be a whole ton of new characters created out of this, but, you know, also which established characters are going to come to find out that they have some Inhuman blood in their DNA and then start having these new powers explode out of them.
Sure.
And I went on a nice little Twitter rant earlier today when this news was announced. I don't know if I feel so much about ranting about it now, but maybe once I get talking about it, I will. But here's my gripe.
Here comes the gripe.
Okay, so Marvel did their No More Mutants, and they dramatically reduced the number of mutants in the Marvel Universe to under 200.
198.
Then, once they finally start coming back from that after Avengers vs. X-Men and new mutants are being, you know, created, now they're getting pushed to the side for the, you know, all these Inhumans that are going to start being born. So it's like, once again, Marvel pushing the X-Men aside, because they already pushed them aside once when they, you know, pushed Avengers to be the most, you know, the poster
boy. The
flagship title and franchise in the universe. I'm used to the X-Men being number one, damn it. I'm a kid of the 90s, back when it was all X-Men, and you only had Avengers and Avengers West Coast.
That's funny.
But yeah, so once again, it's just Marvel's way of devaluing the mutants.
Well, they're going to have their own event before that.
And of course, trying to piggyback on the whole Game of Thrones hysteria going along in the world today, because basically they're going to split once this book gets started, they're going to split the Inhuman family into different, well, they're going to split the family into different families, quote unquote, like the Game of Thrones does.
Right.
And like each family will be in different parts of the world, and there'll be warring families, yada, yada, yada. So people at home, if you're watching live, let us know what your thoughts are by leaving a comment somehow on, if you're watching on Google+, you can leave it there. You can tweet me at TimDogg98. I'll read the tweets on the air. But
you can tweet me too at Agent_70.
Yes. Let us know. But what's your thoughts firsthand?
It seems to me like this is, like you said, another way to create new characters. You know, it's just, you know, it's a driving force behind creating new characters. The Terrigen Mists have been used before. I remember post-M-Day, I believe, Quicksilver stole the Terrigen Mist to try to restart his own powers, or I don't even remember how that all ended up working out. But, you know, it sounds like an interesting way to reinvigorate the Inhumans, because they haven't been very prominent, even with Black Bolt kind of being reintroduced in the New Avengers and the Illuminati. You know, the other characters in the Inhumans really haven't seen much light of day for a long time, so it's kind of nice to see them come back to the forefront. What I wanted to mention that the teaser image that was in Entertainment Weekly for the crossover had some kind of, you know, kind of interesting characters in it.
Let's discuss this. So, while we're talking about this, so the image is drawn by the exclusive promo image is drawn by Steve McNiven,
right?
And we've got various characters on here. Some that stand out is a Spider-Man in his original
classic
blue,
duds, yes,
blue and red. So not sure who that is under the mask. And in the background, you have a Nightcrawler teleporting.
Yes. Now, who is that?
Currently dead right now.
Wait, where's the drama?
Yeah. Don't forget you got the sound effects.
That's right. No, I'm looking for the drama one specifically. There you go.
Yeah. And we've got the now Marvel Universe Angela, who we're told is very important. I don't know why, but she's important, people. We've got Winter Soldier, who, of course, is going to be starring in a movie near the end of the year. Comes out a month before this comes out, I believe. And we have Wolverine in a new outfit.
Yet another new outfit.
And, which I pointed out earlier today on Twitter, is an outfit that fully covers his body, so his arms aren't, you know, his forearms aren't exposed anymore. And I was wondering if that the reason for that is because of, we all know he's going to lose his healing factor sometime this year to coincide with him losing it in the movie, The Wolverine, which comes out, is it next week or sometime this month?
Yeah, sometime soon.
So, yeah, the suit looks more armory, has a more armory feel to it, so perhaps to give him some protection?
Maybe. Maybe. There's also an old Guardians of the Galaxy character named Yondu, the dude with the bow.
Yeah. Didn't know who that was.
In that, so that'll be that. It's interesting that this character is popping up. He was a member of the original, or the older Guardians of the Galaxy, the team that had I can't remember. But the team that wasn't Abnett and Lanning, not the current incarnation. This, you know, yeah. This is the Guardians of the Galaxy from the far distant future. So, you know, there's some definite teasers in this image.
And Marvel also, near the end of the afternoon, they posted a quick interview with Axel Alonso and Matt Fraction. And it's almost missed it because they kind of just, like, stated it as if it was, like, common knowledge. They kind of, like, just throw it out there and don't even mention it for the rest of the article. But apparently, it says, we spoke with Marvel Editor-in-Chief Axel Alonso, as well as writer Matt Fraction, who will be launching the ongoing series Inhuman alongside artist Joe Madureira, with more details on the way tomorrow. So apparently Joe Mad is going to be doing art on the series. And like I talked with some people.
Hey, we'll see how long it lasts.
More likely he's just on for the opening arc, which will probably be like 3 or 4 issues, and then that'll be it.
Sounds like you might be right.
Yeah. So got some tweets to read. Roddy Cat at Roddy Cat says, we entered event apocalypse a while back, folks. Strap in. And at Dork Geekus says, DC and Marvel will push me to become a solely Dark Horse and Image guy with the constant crossovers. And he says, boo at Marvel rehashing Earth X, which I learned earlier today. Earth X is basically the same type thing where the Terrigen Mist was spread across the world.
That's where I remember that happening. That's funny.
So, yeah, this isn't the first time this is happening. So Marvel rehashing their own storylines. William B. West says, who gives a fuck about the Inhumans? Bunch of freaks. And more from Dork Geekus. He says, Quicksilver regained a variation of his super speed. He could alter his personal time frame, kind of like Zoom. He could also see into the future in some degree. Yeah, I remember after he lost his mutant powers and after House of M, he used the Terrigen Mist to get his powers back.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just couldn't remember. Honestly, I probably have the books. I think I read them and just didn't pay much attention to them and just filed them away.
Dork Geekus also adds, is Yondu's presence a sign that space-time is irrevocably damaged by Wolverine?
Oh, God.
Probably.
Let's not say irrevocably. Maybe just really screwed up right now. He'll probably find a way to fix it.
And it's funny because...
Although there's... what's funny? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
I was just going to say real quickly that it's funny because Marvel released their October solicits today, which I sort of scoured over. Usually I just like kind of read them and look at the cool picture covers.
Nice transition.
But some of them actually stood out to me because there's...
I wanted to say, I don't know if you had a chance to look at it. I just popped up Newsarama. They have what we learned from the October 2013 solicitation. If you want to pull that up, we can go through that.
I was looking forward to that one.
because they did the reviewing, yeah.
Yeah, I like their top 10 after they say, what we learned. Mm-hmm. I actually learned a lot, and I can name like four things I learned without being their list, but I'll point out the ones and see if they stated the same things I stated.
Well, I mean, I know Astonishing is coming to an end. They put that right in the solicitation.
Well, they had announced that months ago. They would announce that at the same time that Extreme X-Men and Age of Apocalypse mm-hmm. were announced, except they ended sooner than this one did.
Right.
Like, at one point, I was like, did they forget that they were canceling this?
I guess they just wanted to let Marjorie Liu finish out a couple of story arcs, so... I'm kind of sad. It's always nice to have, a female writer do her thing. And, yeah. It's kind of a shame that that's one less book for a female writer to have a stage to write, from. So you got the list up?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Shout outs to Newsarama for doing this.
That's right. I'll at you.
They did it just for us people.
That's right. Follow along with us on Newsarama.com.
So if number one is New Warriors 10. Confirmed. Yeah. Number 10. Oh, yeah. Number 10, New Warriors confirmed in Nova. So two months ago in Marvel's August solicitation, an acrostic hint was hidden in the text description of Nova number 7, which happened to spell out New Warriors, which, of course, Nova was a member of. So
I'll just read the funny part. So the solicitation for October's Nova number 9 dropped any pretense as to their inclusion in the series. The events of Infinity have Sam Alexander in over his head, but he's about to get back up from some nice, entertaining wallflowers who, okay, this is exhausting. They're a couple of dudes from the New Warriors. So it looks like some former New Warriors are going to be making an appearance in the Infinity Infinity tie-ins in Nova.
And it says, I guess, in some preview images that some preview images came out that show Justice and Speedball.
They're not even
trying to hide it.
Alrighty, number 9. Oh, we just talked about this. Astonishing X-Men ends.
Yep.
Wow, it's been going on since 2004. That's a 9-year run.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it served its purpose. There's too many X-Men
books.
It was time to end.
Number 8, Astonishing Captain America scheduled. What?
Finally.
I guess it's not being called that. It's being called Captain America Living Legend. Yeah, I was about to say, I ain't seen no Astonishing Captain America announced.
That's right.
Captain America Living Legend is what it's called.
Right. I think they had to alter the. No, I don't know if the preview images. If you recall, the preview images had Cap with a gun. And now this. I don't know if you remember that. I mean, this book has been in the pipeline since 2010. So I guess there's two issues slated for October. Wow, it looks like Granov did the first issue and the second. and maybe the next two of the four issues limited series are illustrated by Augustin Alessio. Just the latest in the long line of an Italian sounding artist.
Yep. Let's see what else we got here. Number 7. Excuse my browser. That would be the A plus X format change. Yeah, I saw that.
I can't believe they're not canceling this. Is it selling that well, or do they need an anthology series? I don't know.
I stopped reading them because it was a waste of time.
I mean, there's a couple of like funny blurbs, and what's cool about this particular series is that they kind of pull in, like if you remember, I think last month we did, I mentioned that Nathan Edmondson, the guy that does the activity, did a mm-hmm. did a short story in this, and I think that, you know, that was cool that they were allowing non-traditional Marvel creators to come in and tell a couple of A plus X type stories. But it looks like now they're changing the format, wherein it's going to almost be like Marvel Comics Presents, where there's going to be like a multiple parts of a story divided up over each issue. So it's going to be like 5 issues of like a half a book. It's actually a 6-part story starting in October's issue number 13 from Jerry Duggan and David Yarden, featuring Captain America and Cyclops. And then the second half is going to have stories written by Howard Chaykin, old school Howard Chaykin. And it's kind of interesting to see them use this title as a means to bring in some of these creators who aren't, like I said, tethered to the Marvel Universe proper right now.
Okay. Next up on the – oh, yeah, so you just gave the whole rundown. Captain America and Cyclops teaming up, 6-issue format or 6-issue story. Number 6, Al Ewing doubles up on Avengers. Basically, at first, on the solicits for Avengers Assemble number 20, he's – listed as being the writer for it. And it's an Infinity tie-in book. Of course, Kelly Sue DeConnick's been writing Avengers Assemble, so my first thought was, is he taking over the book? But I saw later in the day on Twitter, he said he's just stepping in for an issue. He's not taking over.
There you go.
Number 5, new character in Fearless Defenders. Don't have to dwell on that too much.
It's just a new character. They're going to introduce someone new into the world of the Fearless Defenders.
So Arms of the Octopus. Okay, that's what this is being called. So Arms of the Octopus is going to be a 3-part story running through all new X-Men, Indestructible Hulk, and Superior Spider-Man team-up specials in October.
Man, there's a way to make people buy Superior Spider-Man team-up. look at the two tie-in books, all new X-Men and Indestructible Hulk.
Yeah, some of the better books in Marvel now.
Yeah, some of the more popular ones, right?
So basically, Dr. Octopus's body is running around, but who's behind it since his mind is in Peter Parker's body? And it also involves the Abomination, another character coming back to life.
Yet again.
Number 3, there's going to be a death apparently in the Uncanny Avengers that month. Number 13 to be specific.
Right, that's crazy. I wonder who bites the bullet. It's going to be interesting.
My guess was Havoc.
Really? It's kind of interesting.
If you read this list, it's like almost every character was listed, like it lists, like, you know, so-and-so was taking on this person, like Wasp was taking on Grim Reaper, and Scarlet Witch does something that will have ramifications forever, and I don't think it's listed who Havoc was taking on. At first I thought the person that died would be Sunfire, but I think Sunfire and someone else and Rogue. Are taking on somebody,
right?
One of the other horsemen. So
there's the Apocalypse Twins.
Yeah.
I don't have the solicits in front of me, but that's what I remember reading.
Yeah, you're right.
So No, that's actually not a bad, you know, that's not a bad call.
It has to be someone that doesn't have their own book. Which,
listen, you know, if it's Wonder Man, it wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, if it's not Havoc, it's Wonder Man.
There you go. I think you got even odds, although I'd be disappointed if they kill Havoc off.
Havoc would be like a martyr.
Yeah, but, you know, I'd rather just see Wonder Man get killed again.
Number two, more big Superior Spider-Man happenings.
You see, now this preview image got me, you know, hating on Spidey Ock even more. You know, the viewers can, even the listeners can click over and look at the preview image for this Superior Spider-Man number 19.
And both of these, yeah, this 19, I guess, is the end of the story with Spider-Man 2099 and what happens with that.
Oh, and maybe then, it's issue 20 that this image comes from.
The one with Black Cat?
Yeah,
that's 20.
Yeah. Man, this guy is living out every nerd's fantasy.
Yeah, and I've been screaming for the longest that Black Cat needed to be featured more. So
there you go. Here she is.
Yeah. Let's see.
And number one.
Yeah, number one is, what is it?
What is?
Oh yeah, what is Cataclysm? Yeah, I saw that. I was like, yep. So after Age of Ultron, of course, there's going to be a Hunger 4-part series dealing with Galactus being in the Ultimate Universe. And once that ends, there's a Cataclysm 0.1 issue solicited for October. What is that going to be? It's classified, so we don't know.
That's right. And possibly relevant, there's no issue of Ultimate Comics Ultimate solicited for October.
Cue ominous music.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
So there's some happenings going on in the fall, kids. Boys and girls, there's going to be some stuff happening with the Ultimate Universe. We shall see what happens at the end of the Hunger and see what Cataclysm is.
Yeah. So got some feedback. Dorkika says he lost faith in Joe Mad after Battle Chasers. I think as long as you put him on just a 3 or 4 issue run, he can do that, but don't expect him to be an ongoing artist for a series.
I mean, I think if he's dedicated, I think he'll be into it. Like you said, he probably will only last maybe 3 or 4 issues tops. He did do a decent job on the Spidey team. What was the title of the Spidey team up book before? Avenging Spider-Man. Yes, thank you. He did a decent job on those first few issues of Avenging Spider-Man. So hopefully, you know, he'll come in and do his Joe Mad thing. Sell some books and, you know, we'll see where that goes. His style is going to be kind of weird to see with the Inhumans.
Let's see. William B. West says they can't kill Havoc again. It took forever for him to come back last time. He says, got to be Wonder Man since the end of Bendis' run was all about Wonder Man's redemption. I'd buy that.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And he also asks, are any Ultimate books scheduled Spidey X-Men? I know that Ultimate Spider-Man was in the October solicits. So there's that. And Dork Geeka says, it would be funny if the Spider-Slayer was in Dr. Octopus after his recent encounter with Spock.
Yeah.
And says, why don't they kill Wolverine? It would throw off the fans by killing off a character in a recent movie. Actually, because it's been rumored that Wolverine is going to die sometime within the next year anyway, so I don't think it's going to happen in Uncanny Avengers. That's just me, though.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. You know, they're going to do it in a big event. It just, like you said, it won't be in Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah. So that's what we learned from Marvel's solicits.
Good reading.
Now, since we missed last week's books, we're going to try to...
Oh, there's one. I'm sorry, Tim. Are we moving on real quick? I just wanted to mention one last bit of news.
Go for it.
Marvel has let everyone know that there's a short film called Agent Carter that they're going to debut at San Diego Comic-Con, and it's going to be included with the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray when it comes out in September. So the short stars Agent Carter, Haley Atwell's character from Captain America: The First Avenger, and that should be something interesting to see, because I'd keep watching Agent Carter go across the screen. You know what I'm saying?
I'll probably not read it, but
no, it's a video.
Oh, it's a video. Oh, that's right.
It's a short film. It's like that what was it? That short film that came with the Avengers
Blu-ray. Yeah.
So it might be worth watching, especially since it might, you know, it'll show what happens to her between the first Captain America and the second Captain America movie.
Dope. Okay, so now we can move on to books. And we're just going to talk about quickly about some of the books that we missed last week that were of importance, quote unquote, to us at least. Avengers AI number 1 released. I wrote a review of it on theclicknation.com, so you can check it out there.
Yeah, I just had a couple of quick thoughts. Go ahead, Tim.
If I remember off the top of my head, I wasn't crazy about it. It seemed to be like kind of all over the place, because I guess they've done this rehabilitation of Hank Pym's character, and he's like acting like this, you know, cocky sort of jerk. And then this Monica Chang character, who's getting her 616 introduction, she's like harassing him and punching him in the face, and it's like she's not even respecting him as a, you know, one of the founding members of the Avengers. And then plus, Hank defeated Ultron. The method that Hank used to defeat Ultron happens to be turns into the main villain of this series, AI called Dimitrios.
Which, I don't know. The way I looked at it is that Hank Pym basically created the Marvel U Skynet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just called Dimitrios.
So yeah, he creates Skynet, and now he has to stop it.
Exactly.
So that's Avengers AI. We also had Superior Foes of Spider-Man, which on first read I wasn't crazy about, but so many people said that they loved the series that I have vowed to go back and reread it again.
I thought it was funny.
Hasn't happened yet, but I will read it
again. I thought it was funny. I definitely saw some conflicting reviews online about the book. You know, I wasn't completely sure why people might have had issues with it, because it seemed to be a fairly light story. You know, Boomerang is the de facto ringleader of this crew of Sinister Six types, you know, and it seems to be pretty funny. So, yeah, I'll be on board for the second issue and see where it goes.
Yeah. What else came out last week?
Avengers 15, Hickman Stories is moving along a little bit more briskly. We don't get to see too much of the newer Avengers in combat. You know, you may not have picked this up, I don't know, but it seemed like Bruce Banner was quoting from Die Hard. He's like,
oh, yeah.
A little late to the party, pal.
I read it. Yeah. I kind of like this version of Banner that Hickman was writing.
Okay. So you picked up on that. That's cool. So, you know, it's nice to see Hickman's story moving along a little bit more briskly. All right, let's see what else we got here. Venom. We'll finish off on the Marvel side. Venom number 37. It's a whole lot of Philadelphia stuff that no one really cares about. Basically, in this issue, a price has been put on the head of Agent Venom by some bad guy called Lord Ogre. Oh, God. And what a name. And all sorts of like mercenary baddies are for hire are taking the job and trying to take trying to claim the price on Agent Venom's head. So that's where that is right now. You want to hit Iron Man 12?
I remember that's more stuff with the secret origin of Tony Stark, and I'm actually kind of liking this story.
It's developing a little, although there's something in there at the end that looks straight out of Pacific Rim, the new movie coming out this week. So, go back and read that book and see what I mean.
I can't remember too much else that came out last week.
I got my notes handy. That's what it is. So real quick, two DC books that I took note of, Detective Comics number whatever it was.
Yes.
Wrath. And the art by Jason Fabok is pretty good. You know, it's very David Finch, but with a dash of Jim Lee. I mean, they're very similar styles, but, you know, it's a little bit cleaner than Finch. The rendition of the Tumbler from the movies, the Batmobile from the movies, was nice to see in there as well. It was a pretty interesting book, and I'm definitely on for the next issue to see what happens. Batwing number 22.
Batwing.
Yeah, we get to see Batman and Batwing in action together, as some of Batwing's enemies strike at Wayne Enterprises through Lucius Fox, who is, spoilers, Batwing's father.
Yep. And also the man that creates all of Batman's gear.
That's right. So that's that. I mean, that's for the books from last week. So we can move on to the books from this week.
Okay, books for this week. I'm sitting here trying to – I see people online talking about this Sharknado show. You ever heard of that?
No.
I guess it's like some made-for-TV movie about some sharks being sucked into a tornado. Oh, okay, it's on Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, my God.
So I need
it's a sci-fi movie.
Yeah. So I'm going to have that on in the background. Oh, Roddy Cat says, yeah, thank you, Roddy Cat. Five Weapons number 5 came out last week.
Oh, I missed. I didn't read it.
I did. And it was the end of the limited series. But at the end, they announced that it's going to become an ongoing series.
Nice.
And Dirk Geeka says, it's Hank Pym's curse. Whatever he creates blows up in his face.
Agreed.
And he says he gives us props for sticking with mainstream Hitman mumbo jumbo, which I call it. I'm sticking with it through Infinity.
Listen, I stuck through his FF run, so I'm on for the long haul.
And honestly, I'll probably still stick with it afterwards, just because you to know what's going on in the Marvel Universe, you kind of have to read Avengers.
Keep Avengers, yeah. I believe there was a cover in the solicits for October, in one of the Infinity crossovers, or maybe it was one of the Infinity Limited series issues, where it's Captain America, our favorite Superman doppelganger Hyperion, and Thor, like standing looking tough. And
yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, oh, okay, so Iron Man's not part of the trio anymore? He's not part of the gang anymore? He's been banished to the Guardians of the Galaxy? Okay, I see how they're doing this.
You are banished, I say.
So
yeah, Five Weapons. I love the ending. It ended, but it teased something for where I guess it can pick up when it starts back. I think it's taking a hiatus. It's not coming. I think, if I remember correctly, like December or January, I think it starts back.
Oh, to get some books in the can so that they can put them out on a timely basis.
Okay. Yeah. So, got some time.
Hey, listen, they probably only planned for it to be a limited series, and with the positive feedback, you know, and good sales.
Keep that sucker going.
Exactly. It's good for them. I'm going to have to go back and read read all the issues to see what I remember reading. Something was out of order. I think I missed the first issue and read like issue 2 and 3. So, you know, for academic purposes here on the Comic Book Chronicles. So I'm going to have to go back and read the whole thing.
Do that. It's fun.
Got it. Sounds good.
So now on to this week's list of books. And unless there's anything going by company alphabetical order, I guess I can jump to – okay, well – I will mention Boom Studios' Six Gun Gorilla number 2 came out.
Okay.
I have not read it yet, though. But at least I want to mention it. I enjoyed the first issue. It's this gorilla. It's this futuristic world, and it's like sci-fi with sort of like gunslingers involved in it. Kind of a nice combo. But I recommend people check it out. The first issue was nice. So I'll read that sometime this weekend.
Okay.
Dark Horse, also I'll mention, had Star Wars number 7 come out.
You have a chance to read it?
No, but I heard that it's a different artist on it. And from someone's review I saw today, they didn't give it. Oh, yeah, Jay Corduroy, at Jay Corduroy on Twitter. He did his 140 character reviews about an hour or so ago. And he said the art was real bad on it, kind of took away from the book. So not
looking forward to that now.
Yeah, not looking too thrilled with that now. And now on to DC.
All righty.
So we have Batman. Well, actually, Batgirl or Astro City?
Oh, no, Astro City. Oh. I picked up Astro City this week to read, and I am absolutely on board with Kurt Busiek and Brent Anderson doing the series again. This particular issue, I think, is very illustrative of how Busiek is approaching the book. It's told from the point of view of, believe it or not, in this universe, the biggest heroes have a hotline. And it basically follows an operator who gets recruited into join the hotline. It's right. Pretty interesting. So, you know, the superhero action is kind of in the background. Okay. And the story is really more about this lady who gets recruited to become an operator on the emergency hotline. So I definitely recommend it to everyone who's listening and watching to pick up Astro City number 2. You don't need to have read Astro City number 1. And honestly, you don't even have to have read. What I like about this is you don't even have to have read a comic book, period. It's that reader-friendly to just pick up and give it to someone and say, here, read this. It'll be interesting.
So that's
Astro City number 2.
I still have to read the first one. I'm going to hopefully someday read
both of them. Give it a
shot. Yeah.
Did you read Batgirl?
I did not. Did you?
Nope. We can move on to Batman.
Yeah, it's Batman. I did finish that before the show started. I'm enjoying Zero Year.
Zero Year, yep.
Yeah, got to make sure I get it right. So it's more, you know, Batman's early days. I kind of like the...
Yet again.
the drastic difference in attitudes between Batman then and now.
Oh, you mean the premature or I guess the younger, more brash?
Yeah, more brash. Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he thinks he knows it all. He's definitely a know-it-all, you know, in this. I mean, even more so, I guess he's become a more humble know-it-all now, if you can even be that, if that's even possible. But he's definitely a brash know-it-all when he was first starting out, so... It's kind of interesting to see Snyder's take on this. Honestly, though, I'm not sure if this is that compelling to anyone older than 15, because we've seen Batman's origin sort of retold a couple of times in a couple of different formats. So, in all honesty, it's only fresh for a certain number of people. But I, you know, like you said, I agree with you in that there's a couple of small things that will probably keep the longtime reader coming back.
Word.
What you got?
Green Lantern Corps number 22.
Read it?
Not yet.
I read it. It's nice to see that John Stewart, no spoilers. Spoilers, actually, is not dead.
he's still alive. He's 2 issues into the new... His new star and role That's in the right. book. So 2 issues in, he's still alive.
He's still alive.
And actually, I think he's in the solicits for the whenever they do the month-long Lights Out crossover. So he's still alive during that. So that's probably like two months away. So
they're definitely doing some foreshadowing in this book and in the other Green Lantern books regarding this Lights Out event. Because it seems like all across the Green Lantern universe of books, everyone's ring is every core's ring is acting up.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, that's definitely leading towards something. You know, all the books are leading towards that particular event.
Sir.
What's next? Justice League?
Is that next? Yes, it is. Justice League number 22, a.k.a. the beginning of Trinity War.
Part one.
This was a great book. The reason it was great, Geoff Johns did a great job of introducing a new reader to all the main players. It does help to have a little background, knowing things about what just ended with Shazam and what the Justice League of America has been going through with the Secret Society, things with in the Justice League as far as Superman and Wonder Woman's relationship. But tension in the book was high.
Yeah. Although I kind of found it funny, you know, like if Shazam is supposed to have like the wisdom of Solomon, he doesn't use it very much.
What magical god is the god of like being brash and just not being caring?
Stupid, right? Yeah, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, there has to be some sort of setup, you know, for the conflict. So that was, you know, he was the setup. He was the catalyst for the conflict. And, you know, and as always, there's mysterious third parties pulling the strings.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll put spoiler alerts on, but we won't spoil everything. Somebody does get whacked in this issue.
Which kicks off the war.
Basically.
So check that out.
It's not the only time that this particular character's powers go a little wonky this week. You know, Key the ominous music. And when we get to this particular character's book, we'll lead into that.
Yeah, or we won't, because we can't spoil who it is.
No, we'll spoil it later.
Because that's what we do on the show.
Exactly. So we shout out the spoilers, you know, so you can like cover your ears when we're talking.
Yes. And of course, Trinity War 2. Well, Trinity War will continue next week with Justice League of America and Justice League Dark, I think, both come out next week.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have a real reason to read Justice League Dark.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Nightwing number 22.
Okay. Haven't read it yet. Just very quickly, let me check my notes. Nightwing 22. This is actually starting to build into a good story. It's interesting to see where the prankster is going with this and his attack on Chicago and its mayor. And it's they're definitely playing off of Nightwing basically being the only hero in town. You know, that's definitely one aspect of this that they're definitely using to its best effect.
Okay, I'm watching
Sharknado. I was about to say, what's so funny about Sharknado?
This guy's like, they had this guy like dodging all this debris. And you just know he was gonna get like crushed by something, but like he's ducking and dodging and missing everything, and then of course it looks safe, and he's sitting there like, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm okay," and then of course this big item just drops down and squashes him.
Oh, mercy!
Crazy
sci-fi movie production value.
Y'all fool got me watching Sharknado.
You gotta love it. Hashtag Sharknado.
Sharknado, yep.
Or Sharknado, however you want to pronounce it.
Sharknado.
What else we got here? Unchained number 2?
Superman, hey, Ian Ziering's in this?
What? Oh, my goodness.
And Tara Reid.
Really?
I haven't seen Ian Ziering yet. Maybe I don't recognize him.
And Tara Reid also? My goodness.
I do recognize Tara Reid. But, we said, let's see, Suicide Squad 22.
Oh, did you read that?
No, but I figured I'd mention it. Oh, I will mention that the person writing it now, Alex Coate.
Right.
He is not going to be the writer anymore because they announced that he's stepping off. Didn't say why, just that he met all his deadlines and he killed it. So leave that up
actually,
to...
I skimmed this. I made a note. Believe it or not, I made a note. This is it. This is my review in one sentence. An interesting read about characters most people care very little about. So it was definitely interesting. I don't recall very much about it. I must have read it, you know, late before going to bed, and I didn't have much energy to type out a review. But it definitely was interesting, and I give LS – it's LS, right? Not Alex?
Oh, Alex Cott.
Yeah, LS Cott, some credit for making it entertaining. At least. All right. What
do we got? And Superman Unchained number 2. I read that before the show.
All right, go ahead.
It was fine. I didn't realize the bald-headed character at the beginning of the issue was Letts.
Yes.
Just because I guess I'm not trained to read Superman books and then obviously look for Letts Luthor.
But here's the thing, and I'm gonna call Jim Lee out on this. All right. This particular issue was a letdown from the first issue, which I thought was pretty good. That's partially Snyder's fault and partially Lee's fault. I thought Jim Lee's art in this seemed loose with a lot of spots. And Lex Luthor, almost shot for shot, looks a lot like Professor Xavier did in the old X-Men books in the early 90s. You know, in these panels. And I definitely see Jim Lee trying to, you know, find a face for Luthor. And I'm trying to remember what his Luthor looked like when he was doing Superman with Brian Azzarello, you know, a few years back. He definitely had a decent Superman run, and I don't recall if Luthor was in that. But I don't recall him being so, just like you, being so kind of kind of hard to differentiate, kind of hard to pick up that was Luthor, you know?
Yeah. And we also have a guest appearance by another hero in the DC universe.
Right.
And that's about it.
Yeah, so I was kind of let down by this book. I thought it could have been a lot better. The first issue, you know, kind of raised my expectations, and I was disappointed in this book.
Uh-oh, is it going back to being just a regular old Superman book that I don't very feel quickly. Like reading?
Very quickly. We'll see. We'll see how that first arc finishes up, right?
Yes, definitely. We always at least read the first arcs or try to. Okay, that's about it for DC. I just want to mention some stuff from some other companies as I go through. Dynamite had Black Bat number 3, Miss Fury number 4.
It's a big week for Dynamite.
Yeah, because they had their Shadow and Green Hornet team-up book, Dark Knights number 1, came out.
Yeah, a lot of stuff out. I just did not have a chance to take a look at any of it.
Me either.
So sorry, Dynamite. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to pick up some of your books and review them for academic purposes.
Yes. IDW doesn't really look like anything that would jump out at me. Image Comics had a couple of things. 235. America's Got Powers number 6 of 7.
I was about to say, have you read any of that America's Got Powers?
It looked interesting, but since it's like already almost over, I was just like, eh. I see Brian Hitch is drawing it. Brian Hitch is drawing it. I was like, oh.
Okay. I'll wait for the series to come out and then read it as a whole and see how that goes. I just wanted to mention I did read Godzilla number 13, which is the last issue in that particular series. It was, you know, typical of any final issue in Godzilla. You know, series, Godzilla wins, no spoilers. No spoilers. So, moving on.
Yes. East of West number 4. Haven't read it yet, but I'm sure it's more Hickman mumbo jumbo. except on the independent circuit. I still don't really know what's going on in this book. Except that it's the four horsemen are involved, and it's like a Wild Western type future thing. I don't know.
I'll give it a read maybe when all. Is it a 4-issue limited series?
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't say. I thought it was a limited series, but maybe it's an ongoing because they don't.
Maybe it was 8 issues or something like that.
They don't have the of, you know, of whatever, like right. America's Got Powers says 6 of 7.
Right.
Oh, Ghosted number one came out. I know people were making a big deal about that.
You didn't read it? I got to get to that. What were they saying? What kind of big deal were they making?
I mean, they kind of, you know, people kind of always make a big deal out of number one issues for Image when they come out. It's about some guy that I think he's broken out. He's in prison. I might be totally wrong because I might not have read this correctly earlier today, but it's like a guy in jail and he's broken, taken out of jail to help do something with ghosts. He can catch ghosts, I think. Ghostbusters. Okay. someone feel free to let me know. I could just look it up now, but I don't feel like it.
It's okay. Shelter, we got other stuff to do.
Shelter number one came out.
Any news about that one? I noticed the number one's
coming. I did a preview thing for it, but I honestly don't remember anything about it.
Okay.
And Walking Dead number 112 came out.
Gotcha.
The R&B group 112, but just issue. Thank you.
There you go.
On the Marvel side, we had Astonishing X-Men number 64.
I read this. I guess it's part of Marjorie Liu's next to last or last arc. I'm not sure which, but it's kind of interesting to see a souped up, powered up Iceman basically holding the world hostage with ice. He basically takes on Thor in this issue and fights him to a standstill. Basically, he wins. It's kind of interesting. Iceman does? Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's definitely interesting. And like I said before, I'm definitely disappointed that Marjorie Liu is not going to have, you know, this particular platform to write from again. I hope she finds something else to write in the mainstream that'll keep my interest. So there's that. About Avengers Arena number 12. Did you read this, Tim?
Yes, I did.
Oh, it looks like we both have something to say about this.
All the people that... Oh, there's Iron Aaron.
Come on, you guys. Make sure you make sure
he's just got darker hair now.
Tweet out there, hashtag, there goes Ian Ziering.
Quick things from the Twitterverse. Dork Geeka says it's more referring to East versus West, East of West. He says it's more action packed and faster paced than Hickman Mumbo Jumbo. And Roddy Cat asks, have we read Storm Dogs? Looks interesting. No, I almost mentioned Storm Dogs, but I have not read it. It just ended. Issue 6 of 6 came out. I don't know anything about it, to be honest. I mean, the name sounds kind of nice. So Avengers Arena. Everyone that was ranting and raving on Tumblr and various websites about something that happened 2 issues ago, I wonder what they think now.
Guess who's back? Back again. You know what I'm saying? There was some cool shots in this, though. I give the art team, I gotta go back and take a look at where the art team was. This was very well choreographed. This book, I thought the fight scenes with the newly returned character were done pretty well. Mm-hmm. And some secrets to the nature of Murder World are revealed.
Yeah, so Dork Geek has had to explain to me what I was looking at on the panel because I didn't actually understand what I was looking at, but he explained it to me, so now it makes sense.
Okay.
So the theory that we've been saying about this possibly being virtual reality kind of went out the window.
Right. Although not necessarily. It could just be, you know, it could just be another twist. But yeah. But definitely, you know, it doesn't seem like a virtual reality at this point. Oh, sorry about that.
What?
Oh, no, you didn't hear anything. Good.
Nope. Hey. And let's see down the list. Daredevil 28, which I have not gotten to yet.
That's some excellent stuff. Excellent, excellent work by Mark Waid.
I know he was
excellent stuff.
I know Daredevil was awesome in Hulk, Indestructible Hulk, which we'll get to later.
Yes. But this particular issue of Daredevil was excellent, excellent, excellent. So I definitely recommend. You don't even have to be a Daredevil fan to enjoy this. So, although it helps. But, you know, there's some great courtroom and legal stuff in here. And, you know, it's, you know, Wade is just knocking it out of the park every issue with this.
Yes, sir. Let's see. Make sure I got all my tweets. Yep. Daredevil, Fearless Defenders, number 6. Good issue.
Oh, you read it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Something happens. I won't spoil it. Yeah, character meets happens. Their demise.
Okay.
And I guess people will be outraged. I'm not sure. I'm hoping to have a review up for this maybe by Friday.
Okay.
If work is slow, I can get out during the afternoon.
Okay.
The book's moving along kind of nicely. This seemed like the end of its opening arc, and maybe like it's still going to be the same story.
It seemed like there's like a greater arc.
Yeah, like this first part is over now. Now it's like in a transition into the next whatever phase of its life form.
Gotcha.
Hawkeye number 12.
Awesome book.
I enjoyed this issue.
What's that?
I enjoyed this issue.
Oh, this issue was great. You know, what's cool about this issue is that it filled in a few bits of knowledge, you know, a few gaps in the reader's knowledge from the Pizza Dog issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it revolves around Barney Barton, Hawkeye's brother. And if you pull out the Pizza Dog issue, there's definitely a couple of bits in there where
were scenes from Pizza Dog in this issue?
Yep. Where you see, oh, that was, you know, where Barney was actually in the Pizza Dog issue, you just didn't realize it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Cool. It was very cool.
But I didn't want to go and pull out the last, because it came out last week, it seems like, or 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah, I didn't want to go and pull it to pretty much tell that stuff like was in sync. So basically,
right, you could definitely tell.
Stuff was going on at the same time.
Yep.
So that's Hawkeye number 12. And it had a guest artist, Francisco Francovilli.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be seeing more and more of this guy. I was making a joke before about the latest in a long line of like Italian-sounding artists at Marvel. And it seems like we're going to be seeing more of this Francovilli guy on other books.
And you will, because he's going to be doing a guest stint on Guardians of the Galaxy, which we found out in the October solicits.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what do we got next?
Up next is Indestructible Hulk number 10, guest starring Daredevil, the Man Without Fear.
More Mark Waid goodness.
This was the end of arc, and now like this time traveling story is about to take place.
Yeah, I'm kind of apprehensive. I trust Waid. I'm apprehensive about time travel again. You know, but this particular issue was like you said, a great finish to the crossover with Daredevil. He also explains that there really is something up Banner's sleeve that will be exposed if S.H.I.E.L.D. ever crosses him. And I thought that was, you know, that kind of piqued my interest. I was like, ooh, I wonder what that could be. You know? So that was pretty cool.
I like Mateo Scalero's art. I'm a fan of his.
It's good. He's consistent. He's definitely got a great style, and it's very consistent across the pages. So, you know, he's definitely an addition to this book, a positive addition.
Okay, now let me touch on some tweets real fast. Dorkika says Kev Walker is an excellent artist. He's on Avengers Arena.
Okay.
Roddy Cat says the thing that happened in Fearless Defender was a bummer, but kind of an eh. And let me save that tweet for when we get to that book. Secret Avengers number 6. I have not got to yet.
Did I read that? I think I did.
I was so close to giving up Secret Avengers until last issue came, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, last issue was kind of, yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that, you know, if you like Marvel Universe style espionage, especially with Winter Soldier being canceled, this is the place to find it. You know, this is definitely a fun read.
He hasn't appeared in it yet, though.
He will at some point, because you see him in that, whatchamacallit, the Infinity teaser image. Well, not Infinity. God, what the hell is it called? Inhumanity or something like that?
Inhumanity and Inhuman is the book.
Oh, that's all I have to say about the names of these things. All right, what's next? What's next? What do we got?
Next we got... So, Superior Spider-Man 13, which was the end of an arc with the whole Spider-Slayer.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this. This is definitely, you know, an excellent ride that Slott is taking everyone on. What do you think? What do you think, Tim?
I'm loving it. I like this. I want this to last as long as it can, because it seems like every 2 months he has like a new swerve plan or something that's going to get people talking. And supposedly this is Superior Spider-Man month, and he has something else planned with the whole Spider-Man 299 showing up. But even before he shows up, there's like stuff that happens in this book that actually is relevant.
It makes me laugh because it seems like, because we the reader know what's going on, and you see how Slott is slowly but surely developing plot strands that some of the characters in the book are supposed to be picking up on to figure out that this is Spidey-Ock and not Spider-Man. You know, there's a couple of small strands in the tapestry that they just have to pick up on, and someone at some point is going to put it all together. I think the best part is kind of seeing how Ock is basically going to plant the seeds for his own downfall at some, you know, in the future, but he's having a lot of fun. You know, Slott is having a lot of fun showing us how it's going to happen.
Yeah. You know? So by the time the issue ends, there's a new status quo, I suppose you could say.
Definitely. Definitely.
And one that kind of makes sense. And I was like, cool, another good transition.
I give Slott, you know, even more credit now for when, if you remember during Big Time and when he was sort of bringing Peter Parker to sort of like the apex of his personal career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of bringing Ock to, you know, kind of the apex of him being a hero. So I actually can kind of see where his downfall might be not too far, you know, in the future, come to think of it. Because we're sort of getting to the peak of where any superhero could be. You know, spoilers on. But you know, that final development is sort of like, hey, you know, I'm official. I've got a home base. You know, so, you know, not every hero has that. You have something like that going on. It's almost like, well, he's sort of hitting the nadir or the apex of a superhero dumb. And you know, there's only so much higher you can go, really.
Yeah. Or, you know, set somewhat higher and higher for a big fall.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You hit the point right on.
Next up on the list. Oh, Ultimate Comics, the Ultimates number 27. I have not got to yet.
It was a fun, you know, it's just a fun, you know, read. You know, there's lots of battles going on, and you get the sense that there's a little bit of finality in the story, where, you know, I guess they're moving towards a finale and a climax. So, you know, we'll see where Hunger goes and where Infinity ends up taking all this. But you can definitely sense in Ultimate Comics, Ultimates, that there's a sense of finality in the story.
Yeah. I will get to it this
weekend. Yeah. Just do my best not to spoil it for you, dude.
I'm liking what Phil Koff is doing. Hopefully course, it's the rumors of the Ultimate Universe coming to an end, especially with this Cataclysm 0.1 looming in October. And after whatever happens in Hunger. Let's see, Uncanny X-Men number 8. I enjoyed this issue as well, even though nothing
happens. It's a slow
burn. Yeah. This is more of a vintage Bendis book.
This book, yes, I agree.
It's like all new, and not saying it in a bad way, but like maybe the whole thing with Magic and Limbo, because I don't care about Magic, not the character, but magic as in the power. Since I don't care about it, I just quickly read the issues,
the issues of Ultimate X-Men.
And kind of just moved on from there. But like after every issue of All New X-Men, I'm like, man, this was great.
Yeah, Uncanny's really having a tough time keeping my interest.
Plus, they don't have any interesting characters on there. I don't really care about
Cyclops.
Yeah, well, I'd care more if they were doing more of trying to fix their powers or training the new mutants or recruiting new mutants, which actually happens in this issue.
I think they had that weird magic interlude to kind of throw the new recruits that they had put in into the fire. They had brought in into the fire very quickly, really take it out of their element.
Mm-hmm.
And, literally taking it off the earthly plane and throwing these new recruits in and seeing if they could survive that. So, it's definitely moving very slowly. We do get to see a character come in who's affiliated herself with S.H.I.E.L.D. It's kind of interesting at the very end.
Yes.
Kind of interesting. So we'll see. But this was definitely a slow burn.
Wolverine number 6.
I read this. I presume that you did not read this.
I did not. You presumed correctly.
Yes. I'm not really sure where the story is going. I have to also presume that this is still leading towards Wolverine with no powers, because there is something that happens in this that leads to that. So you may want to read this and the previous issue to kind of get an idea of how this all sort of happens. It's definitely like a Deus Ex Machina type of thing that causes Wolverine's powers to backfire.
Mm-hmm.
The storytelling and the art, I'm not talking about the writing, but the storytelling as in the visual storytelling and the art was pretty bad. It's really bad.
Wasn't it Paul Cornell and that's
no, writer. It's not Alan Davis.
It's not Alan Davis anymore.
It's not Alan Davis doing the art on this issue. It might be a fill-in issue. I don't know, but the art in this, I don't want to talk too much trash about this poor guy's art. But it was pretty bad.
Alan Davis's art is nice. It's okay, but it's nothing like, ooh, I gotta go read this because Alan Davis drew it.
Yeah, to each their own, but he's a professional artist and he can render things very pretty.
Yeah, he doesn't take away from it.
Exactly. So
he doesn't subtract.
Right. And his storytelling. I mean, when characters are doing things in the panel, you can tell what they're doing. It makes sense. The particular artist on this issue was not very good. So, I was very shocked to see that. I just wanted to just mention that I wonder if maybe this isn't the time for Wolverine to go back to having, a number of different limited series as opposed to a number of different ongoing series. I think there's too many Wolverine books out.
Well, we know the Savage Wolverine is out of continuity, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah, but they should do this.
He's got this solo book and then Wolverine the X-Men.
Right.
And, of course, wherever his Avengers books he appears in.
Right.
There's only two.
Well, you put it that way, yeah. Not
he's actually not that many books.
If you don't count Savage, then you're right.
Yeah, that doesn't count. At least I'm not counting it.
All right. Point taken.
Because it's going to reach a point where I'm going to stop reading Savage.
Sure. But if you want to see where, how they might be starting this whole losing his powers thing, read this issue.
Oh, so, okay, the last Marvel book is Young Avengers number 7, which also kind of want to review this book too, because I enjoyed it yet again.
You know, you can tell that Gillen and McKelvey are having a lot of fun doing this, right?
Yeah, their fun wasn't intriguing to me in the beginning.
Right.
But now, maybe it took a while to get into the story, but now I'm invested.
Yeah.
Definitely. Just as Dork Geek says on Twitter, he says Young Avengers survived his pull list purge.
Nice.
And it survived mine too.
Nice.
And the story deals with a 3 month. So 3 months has passed since the team left Earth, and then we had to fill in story of Speed and guy from Young X-Men.
Yeah, I was about to say Prodigy. What's his name? Prodigy. There you go.
But they pick up with Prodigy, and he tells them what happened with Speed, and they go to investigate.
And there's a bit in here that kind of leads into that kind of, I don't think anyone that's listening is all that familiar with Miss America Chavez.
I didn't know who she was beforehand.
Right.
She also has some teleportation ability.
Well, no, multi-dimensional traveling ability.
That's different.
Well, teleportation can be from point A to point B. This is more like traveling in between dimensions.
You know,
so this is definitely an interesting twist to her power set, you know?
Roddy Cat said,
okay.
I'm laughing at Roddy Cat. He says, Young Avengers is great. Why does Prodigy look like Kanye? Because McKelvey, if a black gentleman is going to have glasses on, that's what McKelvey used as a reference.
Probably.
That's my only answer.
You're probably right. You're probably right. That's too funny.
Yeah. So that's Marvel. And normally that would be the end, but got some more to talk about.
Okay. Because
I am going to bring up Valiant and Quantum and Witty number one, which I did write a review for. You can find on dclipnation.com.
And believe it or not, I read it this week.
And I liked it. What about you?
I liked it too. It was good.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun introduction to the characters. They've been around for years. They're being reintroduced for a new audience, and it's a team book of Quantum, aka Eric, and Woody, who are brothers but not by blood, and they're crowned the world's worst superhero team. But when the book starts, they're not the team just yet, but we get to see glimpses of why they're probably considered the world's worst
superhero team. I liked it. I thought the writing was pretty good. I do not recall much of the original Quantum and Woody. I remember reading bits and pieces. I definitely did not catch at the origin, so I don't know how this differs, if at all, from the original way their origin was told. But I definitely enjoyed the telling of this particular story. And I don't recall if Quantum and Woody were always sort of like Wonder Twin Powers activate type thing, which is sort of what the cover implied. So that was kind of interesting. You know, I'm looking forward to the next issue to see how that's developed.
We've got to find the goat.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We got to see the goat make an appearance.
That's right.
It seems like, of course, Valiant has been touting their Summer of Valiant. And I believe this is the beginning of it with Quantum and Woody number one, and Ezio Manowar number 15 also came out this week, which I am going to read because apparently this is a good jumping on point because the Planet Death, I think story arc just ended. I think that's what it was called, Planet Death. So 15 is going to, it guest stars the Eternal Warrior, who is also going to get his own ongoing series in a couple of months here from Greg Pak.
Okay.
And Valiant's been making a lot of announcements. They just added a new editor to their team. Let's see if I can pull up my email to see who that person was. And Archer and Armstrong looks like it's a fun book. And Harbinger War, I think, ended. I can't really remember. But okay. I'm going to try to read all that at sort of like one time.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. Well, I just wanted to mention real quick, it's kind of sad that, you know, one of the byproducts or side effects of event after event is that I don't have the time to catch up with some of these books. They're just sort of laying, you know, they're sort of laying off to the side because I'm busy trying to catch up with all these damn crossovers.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of the viewers or any of the listeners are feeling that. I wonder if maybe this is a definite symptom of it being time to start dropping some of these big events and crossovers. But you were saying, I'm sorry to interrupt.
The new editor, associate editor for Valiant is Alejandro Arbona, who has experience with Marvel.
Hmm. Okay.
So they've got that going. They release a new series like Quantum and Woody and Eternal Warrior. Harbinger Wars number 3 sold out, and it returns for a second printing. So that's big.
Oh, wow.
Move.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah. So lots of good things coming out with them. They also got Shadow Man, Harbinger. I think one of those books is turning into the hardcore, I think. I forget which one. But yeah, lots of big stuff coming on. And a lot of people, you know, everyone talks about Image as the, you know, great independent company, but got to mention Valiant with them as well.
Sure. Valiant has, I believe Valiant owns a lot of these characters. So, you know, I think the key difference is that Image is a place for creators to take some of their properties. But I think Valiant is allowing for some of these characters who became sort of cult favorites to become more, you know, to kind of be reintroduced. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these Valiant characters were introduced in the boom period, the early 90s period There's a technical word for it of collecting when, you know, people collected for investing purposes. So.
Yeah. And I need to get into some more Boom Studios stuff too.
Well, I think they're going to be introducing a lot of new stuff soon. So it might be a good point. You know, there may be very good points to jump on coming up very soon. I don't know if you're all that into Adventure Time Candy Keepers number 1, which was out this week, but, you know, there's definitely a market out there for kids who are reading Adventure Time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I see on when I look at their list is, like, nothing but Adventure Time this and Regular Time, and they got some more stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's not marketed to us. So, you know, Six Gun Gorilla is, and we'll see where the Archaea merger takes them. So, you know, it'll definitely be a no pun intended, a boom time for Boom Studios.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be growing. They'll be growing very soon, very quickly.
So, I think that about does it. Unless you had anything else to
add. No, I'm good. I think what we're waiting for now is we're waiting for There Goes Ian Ziering again. Hashtag There Goes Ian Ziering. We're anticipating news coming from San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, so, well, our show next week will be going on, will be the same day.
In the midst of it, yeah.
Well, it'll just be starting, so we can still do a show, and then the week after, we'll probably have a lot of news and recap. The news recap will be a long list of things that we found worth mentioning from the show.
Absolutely.
It'd be nice, I think. I guess
we had a live correspondent there.
Yeah, I almost thought about asking, you know, who's going, just so they can come back and get. So, send it out there. If you're going to San Diego Comic Con, let me know however you want to through email at dclicknation@gmail.com or just at me on Twitter at TimDogg98 or at dclicknation, click spelled KLIQ. Let me know and. We can try to have you on future Comic Book Chronicles to give your recount of your experience there, the highs and lows.
That's right. and dealing with the crowds and all what the cool panels. Right, exactly. Any cool panels you attended? Some cosplay pictures would be nice too. You can post them on the Click Nation website.
So yeah, get in touch with those people. So
word is out.
That sounds like a good ending point for tonight. And some time left to enjoy the rest of the night. So for the people not here, which are at Classic Materia, Noel, and at PCN underscore Dirt, go to check out Classic's website, the coldslitterpodcast.com. It's www.coldslitterpodcast.com. Popculturenetwork.com is Dirt's website. Of course, we're theclicknation.com. I'm making sure there's nothing else I want to talk about. I don't think there was. But for Agent underscore 70, and I am your host, Tim DOGG. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No, graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee. Don't give a, as long as them pages are hot, and it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.